Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from the teachings of Lord Kapila. The chapter is 3rd canto, chapter number 28. The chapter is entitled Lord Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service. So today we are doing the 35th verse of this chapter. I'm going to chant the verse.
Muktasrayam yani nirvishayam viraktam.
Muktasrayam yani nirvishayam viraktam.
Nirvanam ricchati manahasahasa yathachi.
Nirvanam ricchati manahasahasa yathachi.
Atmanam atra purusha vyavadadhanamekam.
Atmanam atra purusha vyavadadhanamekam.
Anvekshate pratinivritta guna pravaha.
Anvekshate pratinivritta guna pravaha.
Muktasrayam yahi nirvishayam viraktam.
Muktasrayam yahi nirvishayam viraktam. Nirvanam ricchati manasah yathachi.
Atmanam atra purusha vyadhanami ekam.
Atmanam atra purusha vyadhanami ekam.
Anvikshate pratinivritta guna pravaha.
Anvikshate pratinivritta guna pravaha.
Muktasrayam yahi nirvishayam viraktam.
Muktasrayam yahi nirvishayam viraktam.
Nirvanam ricchati manasahasa yathachi.
Nirvanam ricchati manasahasa yathachi.
Atmanam atra purusha vyadhanam ekam.
Atmanam atra purusha vyadhanam ekam.
Anvikshate pratinivritta guna pravaha.
Anvikshate pratinivritta guna pravaha.
Muktasrayam. Situated in liberation.
At which time?
Nirvishayam.
Detached from sense objects.
Viraktam.
Indifferent.
Nirvanam.
Extinction.
Ricchati.
Obtains.
Manaha.
The mind.
Sahasa.
Immediately.
Yatha.
Like.
Archi.
The flame.
Atmanam.
The mind.
Atra.
At this time.
Purusha. A person.
Avyavadhanam.
Without separation.
Ekam.
One.
Anvikshate.
Experiences.
Pratinivritta.
Guna pravaha.
From the flow of material qualities.
Translation. When the mind is thus completely free from all material contamination and detached from material objectives, it is just like the flame of a lamp. At that time, the mind is actually dovetailed with that of the Supreme Lord and is experienced as one with Him because it is freed from the interactive flow of the material qualities. Translation with repetition. When the mind is thus completely freed from all material contamination. Detached from material objectives.
It is just like the flame of a lamp.
At that time.
The mind is actually dovetailed.
With that of the Supreme Lord.
And is experienced as one.
With him.
because it is free
from the interactive flow
of the material quality.
In the material world, the activities of the mind are acceptance and rejection. As long as the mind is in material consciousness, it must be forcibly trained to accept meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one is actually elevated to loving the Supreme Lord, the mind is automatically absorbed in the thought of the Lord. In such a position, a yogi has no other thought than to serve the Lord. This dovetailing of the mind with the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called nirvana, or making the mind one with the Supreme Lord. The best example of nirvana is cited in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, the mind of Arjuna deviated from Krishna's. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, but Arjuna did not want to. So there was disagreement. But after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna dovetailed his mind with Krishna's desire. This is called oneness. This oneness, however, did not cause Arjuna and Krishna to lose their individualities. The Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand this. They think that oneness necessitates loss of individuality. Actually, however, we find in Bhagavad Gita that individuality is not lost. When the mind is completely purified in love of Godhead, the mind becomes the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind at that time does not act separately, nor does it act without inspiration to fulfill the desires of the Lord. The individual liberated soul has no other activity. Pratinivritta guna pravaha. In the conditioned state, the mind is always engaged in activity impelled by the three modes of material world. But in the transcendental state, the material modes cannot disturb the mind of the devotee. The devotee has no other concern than to satisfy the desires of the Lord. That is the highest stage of perfection called nirvana or nirvana mukti. In this stage, the mind becomes completely free from material desire. Yatharchi, archi means flame. When a lamp is broken or the oil is finished, we see that the flame of the lamp goes out. But according to scientific understanding, the flame is not extinguished. It is conserved. This conservation of energy, similarly, when the mind stops functioning on the material platform, it is conserved in the activities of the Supreme Lord. The Mayavada philosopher's conception of cessation of the functions of the mind is explained here. Cessation of mental functions means cessation of activities conducted under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So here in this chapter, actually Lord Kapila's teaching started from chapter 25, the glories of devotional service. Then in that chapter, the Lord, after Kardama Muni left home, immediately after the, actually the question is there that when the Lord appeared, actually what is the purpose of leaving home? To do austerities and to realize the Supreme Lord. But when the Lord himself has appeared in the house, in the home, there was a need for Kardama Muni to leave the home. There it is said that it's more important to follow the, after 50 years one has to leave the house and go. And so that is the example is setting that one should not live in the house till the ripe old age, one has to leave home and do the austerities. So that is the example we learn. And then after that, Devahuti was under the shelter of his son, who is Lord Kapila. So Lord Kapila, Devahuti, in that chapter, she said that, I am the sick of this material senses. Because of the sense disturbance, I am fallen into the ocean of abyss. Please now enlighten me. You are my transcendental life. Om Ajnana Tibirandasya Jnananjana Sanataya. You are like my transcendental life. Please show me the path of God realization. She asked that question. Then she says that you are like an axe which can cut the material affection, material attachment. So please enlighten me. So at that time the Lord was sitting on the Bindu Sarovara and he was sitting literally. That time she approached the Lord and she said that I am sick of this material senses. So because of this I fall into the abyss of ignorance. So please enlighten me. Then the Lord, he told Devahuti the process of realizing God by association of devotees, pure devotees. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhiro. So you have to associate with devotees. What is the caliber of such devotees? Titikshava karunika, suhudam sarvadehina, ajata shatrava shanta, sadhava sadhubhushana. Prasangam madara ajaram pasham. One has to attach, giving up attachment to material and attachment. So one cannot stop attachment. Either you have to be attached to something. So he is telling to Mother Devahuti that please attach to the sadhus who are completely free from all vice and hear from them. Hear satam prasangam mama virya sambhiro. Hear about the satam prasangam mama virya sambhiro, the supreme glorious activities of the Supreme Personality of God in the association of devotees. So in that way you will develop devotion to the Lord. Then after that chapter, the Lord is explaining the fundamental principles of material nature, the creation, how all the elements have been created from Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, how everything has come. So all the creation and every detail the Lord is explaining. Then after hearing all that, Devotee is having again asking the understanding the material nature. In 27th chapter, Devotee is asking the question, saying that how the soul being encased in this material body since time immemorial, how can that soul be released from this encagement? So please tell me that because from time immemorial the soul has been covered, although the soul is transcendental by nature, it is covered, and when will it get released from that material encagement? That is the question she is asking. Then in this chapter, 28th chapter, the Lord is answering that question of Devahuti. So in this chapter, Lord Kapila is talking about realizing the absolute truth by Ashtanga Yoga process. What is this Ashtanga Yoga? Ashtanga Yoga is nothing but a mechanical meditative practice. It's a mechanical meditative practice to control the mind and senses and focus the concentration on Paramatma, the super soul. The form of the Lord is to be situated in the heart. This practice culminates in Samadhi, or it is also called Samadhana, when the mind completely fixes full consciousness on the absolute truth. So that is the Ashtanga Yoga process. Ashtanga Yoga, Ashta means eight. Anga means limbs of practice. What is Ashtanga Yoga means? It is, there are eight limbs of practice. That is Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So all these eight processes, Lord Kapila is very systematically explaining in this chapter what the Yamas are, what are Niyamas, and how one has to. So what are the yamas and niyamas? That is ahimsa satyam. Ahimsa means non-violence. Satyam means truthfulness. Asteya means refraining from theft. Refraining from asteya means collecting more than necessary. If somebody collects more than necessary, then what is required for the just simple maintenance of the body and the soul, whatever extra we collect, that is also like a thieving. Over collection is also called asteyam, means refraining from theft. Actually, even in the Upanishad, it is said that whatever is allotted to us, we should take that much, not take more than that. Then we are considered as thieves. So, asteyam is refraining from theft. Then, yavadartha parigraha, and keep as much as necessary. That's all, not more than that. Yamas, and then niyamas are brahmacharya, being very celibacy, refraining from sex, and then tapaha, austerity, and then shaucham, cleanliness, and then swadhyaya, study of the Vedic literatures, and then by doing all that, then final step will be purusha archanam, worship the Supreme Lord. So this is what is the niyamas and niyamas, which is explained in the fourth verse of this chapter, four yamas and four niyamas. Then after that, one has to practice the asanas, sitting postures, where by controlling this, doing this asanas, one will transcend the mode of ignorance and passion and come to the mode of goodness. That is why it's important to, then it is said that sitting postures, one can become steady, sthira. Then after that, one will be practicing pranayama. Controlling the vital air, like it is called Puraka, Kumbhaka and Rechaka. Inhaling is called Puraka, and then retaining the breath is called Kumbhaka, and then Rechaka is exhalation. These are first to inhale and then hold the breath and then exhale, or we can do it in the reverse order as well. So this is what pranayama is. Mainly pranayama is practiced because the breathing and the mind control is very closely related. Because by breathing one can control the mind. So that is why in this way, it is very important in this Ashtanga Yoga process, this pranayama is very, very important, because by controlling this breathing process, by practicing this breathing process, one can bring the mind under control. Yeah. So that is what it is said here. Then pratyahara is by controlling by breathing process, one can control the mind and withdraw the senses from sense objects. Pratyahara, and then what is that? Dharana is concentration of the mind, and then dhyana is meditation, and then samadhana, bringing the mind completely under control, and finally fixing the mind on the Lord, on the super soul who is situated in our heart. That is called samadhana or samadhi. So this is Ashtanga process. The Lord is very systematically, he has explained, and finally after fixing the mind, then what one should do? Meditate on Vaikuntha Leela, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what one is meant to do. Not after everything and meditate on void and impersonal, like that is not the process. Ashtanga process is actually very authorized, because Lord Krishna himself has spoken in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, it is a very, very authorized process. Not like impersonalism, voidism, that is not an authorized process at all. Because it is authorized process, Lord Krishna has spoken, and also now Lord Kapila is also answering the question of Devahuti in this chapter 28. Ashtanga Yoga is process is very authorized, and it is definitely, one can realize it, but it's a very, very tedious and very very arduous and very hard, and especially in this age of Kali, it is very, very hard to practice Ashtanga Yoga. Because Arjuna himself told Krishna that to practice, after Krishna began to speak in the 6th chapter, the entire 6th chapter, Krishna, which is entitled Dhyana Yoga, Krishna is very nicely explaining in that chapter how one has to follow so many rules, and like this Ashtanga Asana, all these rules and regulations and breathing process and all. Then Krishna is very nicely explaining in that chapter that Control in any yoga process, controlling of mind and senses is very, very important. Unless one controls the mind and senses, yoga process is a waste of time only. So what is this yoga? First let us understand what is this yoga. Yoga means not the exercises. Like today this yoga has been, everybody is thinking that it is like a bodily postures, exercises, different. So that is not actually a yoga. Means linking oneself with the Supreme, that is connecting oneself with the Supreme. For one can never become a yogi. Krishna says that one can never become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. So controlling the senses and mind is very, very important. Unless one controls the mind and senses, yoga practice will not be very fruitful and it's only a waste of time. So it is like controlling the mind at the same time, practicing yoga at the same time, engaging the mind in sense gratification is something like igniting a fire at the same time pouring water on it. That in one place we are trying to ignite fire and on the other side we are pouring water on it. So it is like that. So that is why the very first important thing in yoga practice is the control of the mind and senses. Of course, through Ashtanga Yoga, through this breathing process and all these things, we are controlling mind. But all these processes that the Lord Kapila has explained in Ashtanga Yoga can be very parallelly done in Bhakti Yoga as well. But in a way more direct, practical, simpler, quicker way. So bringing the mind under control in Ashtanga Yoga process, all this Ashtanga Yoga, finally one comes to the controlling the mind. But the mind can be very easily controlled by hearing and chanting. Chanting the holy name and hearing the chanting, we can control the mind. Like it is said that Maha Mantra. Maha means what? Great. Man means mind. Tra means that which delivers the mind. Maha Mantra. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared and inaugurated this Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can easily control that mind, which in the Ashtanga Yoga process so arduous, so difficult, so time consuming, so much. And also, like in this same chapter, after the 12th verse, it is explained that what you will meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord. It is, there is a description of how the Lord is wearing beautiful yellow dhoti, and then his body is bluish, and all this, like he is wearing a beautiful flower garland, and all these things they have explained the how the Lord is decorated very beautifully. And after that it is said that one has to meditate on every limb of the body, not collectively but individually. Beginning from the lotus feet of the Lord, one has to begin to meditate from the, not from the, on the whole. Because when one begins to meditate on the on complete whole, the then you know there is a possibility of becoming like impersonal conception. That is why it is said that one has to start to meditate, look at the Lord from the lotus feet. Because the lotus feet of the Lord, if you meditate on this whole heaps and heaps of mountain of sin that is accumulated in our heart, that can be completely clear by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. That is why meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually going upward, and on the thighs of the Lord, then on the navel of the Lord, then on the hips of the Lord, then on the chest, then on the neck, and on the arms, forearms of the Lord, then on the face, and on the beautiful smile of the Lord, and the compassion glance of the Lord, how he is bestowing the blessings to the devotees of the Lord. So like that, meditating on all these things, it is recommended in this chapter. Then actually even to meditation, without deviating the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is situated in the heart, is also not very easy. Continuously without break. So that is why instead of that, seeing the beautiful love of the Lord in the temple is much more easier. Because you can see the Lord, you don't have to be very much qualified to practice all these things. By simply looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, we can control, we can easily meditate on the, look at the beautiful form of the Lord in the temple. So that is what is also recommended. And hearing and chanting is also very, very powerful process, where we can, by hearing the mind, we can control the mind also. So here it is said that, so in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling that controlling of the mind is very important in the Ashtanga Yoga process. Well, he is saying that udharedatmanatma nam atmanam avasadayet atmaiva hi atma no bandhu atmaiva ripuratmanaha. One should deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Then Krishna is telling that jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita sitoshna sutta dhityeshu tathamana apamanayo. For him who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. For such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. For him who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. So Krishna is telling all that, and also is telling that for a yoga practice, he is saying that, he is also telling that natyashrutasthi yogasthi nachaikanta manashrutaha nachati swapna shilasya jagrato naivacharjuna. To practice yoga, one should not eat too much or eat too little, not sleep too much or sleep too little. And also is telling uttahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmashu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogobhavati dukkaha. Krishna is telling that he who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. The same principles are the same in Bhakti Yoga as well. We also, like a practitioner of Bhakti Yoga, should not sleep too much. Only sleep enough so that the mind can be alert. Not oversleep, like, you know, Prabhupada says in the purport that one should not sleep more than 6 hours. And if need be, in the afternoon, if you are tired, maybe 1 more hour. But not more than that. So, even in 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that sleeping is the mode of ignorance. One sleeps too much. So that is why sleeping too much and eating too much also. And even in this chapter, Lord Kapila is saying that one should eat frugally. Frugally means not eat too much. If the stomach, if the 100% of the stomach, 50% should be, we should eat food, and the other 50%, 25% should be left to use, should be left to drink water, for the water, and other 25% for the air to pass. Those who follow this, only eat only 50% half of the stomach and leave the other half for the water and air. To such people, if they never suffer from any disease or indigestion, Prabhupada says in the purport. So that is why it is very important that Krishna is saying that he who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all my... One should be very regulated, even in our... For maintaining our good health also, we have to have all this very balanced. Eating, sleeping, recreation, doing exercise, maybe yoga and all these things to keep ourselves in good health. This pranayama, asana, all these things, that is also good to maintain our good health. They are also useful in Bhakti Yoga as well, to maintain good health. So Krishna is telling that, so Yukta, then he is saying that he is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping and recreation work, can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So Arjuna, after hearing the entire 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, beginning from Shucho Deche Pratistapya, say going to a secluded place and laying on the kusha grass, sit on a deer skin. Why one should sit on a deer skin?
Drives away snakes.
What's that?
One of the reasons they know drives away snakes.
Yeah, it drives away snakes, correct. Because when the person is in yoga process, if we had to close our eyes, have half closed our eyes and look at the tip of the nose and all this. While doing, a yogi should not be scared where the snake will come and bite me, no? So in the forest, he is going to a secluded place where there is possibility of there may be so many snakes. So he should not worry about the snake. That's why the deer skin sitting on that, so that it will keep snakes away. So then sitting erect in the right posture and staring at the tip of the nose and concentrating on the breathing of the air and all these things are very, very hard. So beginning from the Shuchodeshe Pratistapya and ending at Yogi Paramo Mataha, from 11th verse on to 32nd verse, the Lord is explaining elaborate Ashtanga Yoga process. And guess what Arjuna said after hearing all the Ashtanga process? Krishna, Arjuna said, the yoga process which I have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. The yoga process which you have summarized, Arjuna is telling to Krishna, the yoga process, the elaborate yoga process which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me. Why? Because the mind is restless and unsteady. Because for the Ashtanga Yoga process, control of the mind and senses is very, very utterly important. Unless we control the mind and senses, yoga practice cannot practice yoga. So Arjuna is telling, is rejecting this process, saying that, guess what Krishna, the yoga process which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me because the mind is restless and unsteady. Then he is telling, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavadradam tasyaham nigraham manye vayuri vasudushkaram. Why? For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong, O Krishna. To control the mind is more difficult than controlling what? The wind. Even controlling the wind is easier than controlling the mind, Arjuna is saying. So it's very, very difficult. So for this question of Arjuna, did Krishna say that, okay Arjuna, don't worry, forget about it. It's very hard to control the mind, forget about it. Did he say that? No. Krishna said, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Asamshayam Mahabaho, Manodar Nigraham Chalam, Abhyasena Kaunteya, Vairagena Chagrihyate. Krishna is first saying to Arjuna that what you are saying is completely agreed, Arjuna. It is undoubtedly very difficult to control the restless mind. Did he stop there? It is undoubtedly very difficult to control the restless mind. But he is saying, but it is still possible. How? By practice and detachment. Abhyasa and vairagya. It is still possible. Then he is saying that, Ashamyatatmanayo godushtrapo itimemati vashyatmanato yatata shakyo goptam upayataha. For one who has an unbridled mind, self-realization is a very difficult work. But he who strives by appropriate means, for one who cannot control his mind, unbridled mind, self-realization is a very difficult work. But he who controls mind by appropriate process, for such a man, he is assured of success. He is assured of success. In that purport only Prabhupada says that one has to practice yoga, means one has to control the mind. Like controlling the mind, one cannot do both. Like Prabhupada says that practicing yoga and also enjoying the senses, they both material and spiritual, they are different. They both go in together. Practicing yoga and the other place enjoying the senses, they go in together. Krishna says in the 3rd chapter, 6th verse, Karmendriyani samyamyayaste manasasmaram indriyarthani mudatma mityachara samuchyate. What is Krishna telling? One who restrains the senses of action but whose mind dwells on sense objects certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Externally one may be
display, wearing orange robes and showing that he is a renunciant, but on the other hand, he is meditating on the sense objects within. Such person is called a pretender, mithyachara. So, and Krishna says that a person who is wearing orange robes externally and internally meditating on the sense objects is called a pretender. And on the other hand, in the third chapter itself, in the next verse, he is saying that a sincere householder who is practicing sincerely in his household life, practicing bhakti yoga and doing all the proper bhakti yoga, he is better situated than a mithyachari sannyasi like that. So controlling of the mind and senses is utterly important. Then also Krishna is telling, then so practicing yoga and not controlling the senses, controlling the senses is very, very important. Now coming back to the verse that is today, here it's said that when the mind is thus freed from all material contamination and detached from the material objectives, it is just like the flame of a lamp. So, by Ashtanga Yoga process, finally, by meditation on the Supreme Lord, on the every limb of the part of the Lord and smiling face of the Lord, in the previous verse it is said that by following this course, the yogi gradually developed pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari. In the course of his progress in devotional service, the hairs on his body stand erect through excessive joy and is constantly bathed in the stream of tears occasioned by intense love. Gradually, even the mind, which he used as means to attract the Lord, as one attracts a fish to a hook, withdraws from material activity. So when the mind is thus completely free from all material contamination, detached from material objectives, it is just like the flame of a lamp. Krishna also tells in the 6th chapter, Yathadi poni vatasto nirgate sopamasmita yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogamatmanaha. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, similarly the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled becomes steady in the meditation on the transcendent self. Krishna says that just like the mind in a windless place does not waver, right? It is very, very steady. Similarly, the mind of a yogi who has practiced the detachment from material is just like a flame of lamp which does not waver. At that time, the mind is actually dovetailed with the Supreme Lord. Dovetailed with the Supreme Lord means become one with the Supreme Lord. That does not mean like the impersonalists and then Mayavadi, they think that becoming one with the Lord means it's not like merging with the Lord, it is becoming one in desire with the Lord without any separate desire from the Lord. We become one with the desire of the Lord, dovetail our desires with the desires of the Supreme Lord. Like how the example of Arjuna is given in the purport, how Arjuna in the beginning he did not want to fight, but after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave him choice. Now you can do. I told you whatever I had to tell you, I have told you everything. Now you deliberate and decide what you want to do. But then Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he said, "Ethejasi tatha kuru." I will do whatever as per your instructions. So that time he doubted his desire with the desire of the Lord, which is called also Nirvana. He doubted his desire with the Lord. So actually, by doubting our desire, we don't lose our individuality. We are always Nattevaham jatana shannatvam neve janadipa nachayvana bhavishyama sarvevayam mataha param. Correct? Then he says, never was there a time when you did not exist, nor I, nor you all, nor will there ever be a time when you will not exist. So all the time you are individual and I am also individual. Even after liberation, nirvana, one doesn't lose their individuality and their identity. So after Mayavadis, what they think, one day merge,
then there is no activity. Actually, it is not like that. Then we situate ourselves in Swarupena Vyavastiti. Swarupa, in our constitutional, original constitutional position. Then we remain, understand our original, Jivena Swarupohe Krishnera Nityadas. Then we remain in our original constitutional position, Swarupena Vyavastiti, that is our original constitutional position. We never merge with the Lord. And also here it is also said that one becomes, when the flow of this Nivritta Pravaha, Prati Nivritta Pravaha, Guna Pravaha, say how the flow of the modes of material nature are tossing and turning all the time, like that can be stopped. Krishna and Arjuna also asked in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna elaborately explains about the three modes of material nature, what the mode of goodness is, what the mode of passion is, what the mode of ignorance is. After hearing all this, Arjuna is asking one very important question. What is the symptoms of one who has transcended the modes of nature? Please explain to me how to transcend the modes of nature. Then Krishna says that mamcha yogi vichare na bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in my devotional service unfailing, under all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahmana. He says that one who engages in his devotional service unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and such a person can transcend the modes of material nature. Who can do that? Who is fixed in the complete unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He at once transcends the modes of material nature. Guna pravaha. The modes will not, now they will, the flow of material modes. So in the Ashtanga Yoga process, we have to go through so much process to stop these, to come to the transcendental position. But in Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is telling that it is because the thing is, these are like, you know, the same things in Ashtanga Yoga process and in the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga is very practical, it is very direct, it is very simpler, and it is very quicker. Whereas Ashtanga Yoga process is very difficult and it is very time consuming, especially in this age of Kali. Ashtanga Yoga process is impossible. Arjuna says that, just now we discussed in the 6th chapter, Arjuna says that it is very, very difficult to practice the Ashtanga Yoga process, especially in the age of Kali, because Kali Yuga, one cannot, duration of life is very short, and then people are very lazy. Vaye kalpayusha sabhya kalavasmi yuge jana manda samanda matayo manda bhagihi upadrutaha. Oh learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have short lives. They are quarrelsome. They are lazy. They are misguided. And above all, they are very disturbed. So, these are the characteristics of the age of Kali. And also in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that tatascha anudinam satyam shaucham shama daya kalena baline rajan nangshatya yurbalam smriti. What is that? Tatascha anudinam, day by day, satyam, truthfulness will go, shaucham, cleanliness will go, kshama, forgiveness will go, daya, being merciful, will reduce. Kalina, due to the powerful influence of the age of Kali, Nangshati Ayu, duration of life will reduce. Balam, strength will reduce. And then Smriti, memory will reduce. Like all these great souls, like Vyasadeva and all these great souls, simply by hearing Smriti Dharas, they have written all these Vedic literatures. Today we are going to the office work and buying a memory stick and asking how much memory this has. So the memory is reduced. So due to all this ill effects of the age of Kali, where can one practice the Ashtanga Yoga, which is so difficult? Although it is an authorized process, it is too difficult. So when Arjuna has rejected 5,000 years ago, when he was very well equipped, actually being born in a high class family, he was very well equipped, and he himself has rejected when 5,000 years ago. And today, can we think of doing it? It's highly impossible. So, for us, it's very easily, very mercifully, namo mahavadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauravishi Namah. The Lord has very mercifully, indiscriminatingly, very mercifully giving this Krishna prema without any effort, just by chanting the holy name of Krishna and Maha Mantra, great chant for deliverance. The mind has to be controlled. That can be controlled by hearing and chanting the holy name repeatedly, then fixing the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and that is much easier. And like the example is to go to a Rialto Towers. There Krishna has spoken about direct and indirect path in Bhagavad Gita. Although the intention of Krishna is the direct path, Bhagavad Gita is divided into three parts. You all know that, right? First six parts are talking about Karma Yoga. The middle six chapters are talking about Bhakti Yoga. The last six chapters are talking about Jnana Yoga. So this karma without bhakti is dead. This little bit bhakti is added in the first six chapters, and also jnana without bhakti is also dead. There's some bhakti added. So Krishna is talking about two paths, direct path and indirect path. Although the intention of Krishna is direct path, but because people are in this age of Kali, and also people are not willing to take, or not so much highly qualified to take bhakti directly, Krishna talks about other processes also. So indirect path also, so you can take. Like to go to Rialto Towers, there is two ways to go to Rialto Towers. What are those two ways? One is by climbing the 50 floors by the steps, and by going also in a lift, which will take you quickly. So Bhakti Yoga is like going in a lift, whereas other processes are going indirectly through the process of the steps. Ultimately one will reach, but it takes bahunam janma namante jnanamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. So it takes a long time. So instead of that, taking direct path and reaching taking Bhakti Yoga is a lot easier, simpler, practical, especially in this age of Kali. And also, like it is said that it is a lot simpler, easier. One can take to this Bhakti Yoga process, which is very sublime process, and go back home, back to Godhead. If you are very, very serious by chanting the 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can go back home, back to Godhead also. And also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very first chapter, questions by the sages. The sages ask six questions. And in that, one of the questions is, please give us the essence of all the revealed scriptures, no? Because in this age of Kali, one has no time to read the elaborate, all the Vedic literature, the spine of Vedic literatures. No one has time and patience and even inclination to do that. So please give us the essence of all this, so that one can easily do it. So for that, the answer was, Savai Pumisham Parodam Moetam Bhaktikadamsaje Ahaitukhiya Pratihataya Atma Supradeen Srivate. Give that dharma, the supreme dharma, the supreme occupation of dharma is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. What should be the quality of such devotional service? It should be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. That is what the answer was given. And what is that in this Ashtanga Yoga process? What is happening? Pranayama, pratyahara, pranayama by practicing all these breathing processes. One is withdrawing the senses from sense objects and all these things happening. But bhakti, see, these are all, first you have to give up to take something. Like for example, you have to give up all these things, yamanina, and then you can take up something. But bhakti, by taking bhakti, automatically everything. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam che yathaitukam. This is the first canto, second chapter, seventh verse. By rendering devotional service unto the transcendental Lord, automatically when develops detachment and knowledge. Jnana and vairagya are byproducts of bhakti. We don't have to do that jnana vairagya because bhakti is swatantra, independent. It is not depending on other things. Whereas other things are depending on bhakti. But bhakti is totally swatantra, independent. It is not dependent. Because by all this process, jnana, ashtanga, bhakti, finally one has to come to bhakti. Krishna is concluding 6th chapter saying that yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamamata. Of all yogis, the one with full faith abides in me and thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental living, loving devotional service unto me. He is intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion, Krishna is telling. Of all yogis, and then in the previous verse, tapasibhyodi ko yogi, jnanibhyo vimadodika, karmibhyaschadi ko yogi, tasmad yogi bhavarjana, the yogi, then he is telling the hierarchy, na? Krishna is telling that hierarchy, who is that? The yogi is better than empiricist, mystic yogi, and karma yogi and fruitive worker. About all that, bhakti yogi is the topmost. Then he is telling, yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan. So of all yogis, the bhakti yogi is topmost, who is rendering devotional service unto me without deviation, and he is intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. So this is the what we learn. So here again, even Ashtanga yogi also is attaining this, but after a very very long time. Gurujan Prabhu says in the lecture that it may even take so many lifetimes also. So that is very very hard process, but it is authorized. Although it is impractical and all that, but it is still authorized. Whereas the impersonalism, voidism and all this mayavada, that is not authorized. Because Lord Krishna spoke Ashtanga Yoga in the 6th chapter, and also Lord Kapila is instructing his mother Devahuti. He is questioning the answer that what was Devahuti's question? How the soul encased in this material tabernacle, in this material body, how that soul can be released from this matter which is embedded since very very long time, since time immemorial, how can it be released from that confinement? So this chapter Lord Kapila is explaining to Mother Devahuti, this Ashtanga Yoga process. Thank you all very, very much for your attention. Any questions if I can answer? Otherwise, senior devotees are there.
One comment. Lord also said, Vyokyamu Vyamu Ananyashvityantu Maam Jiranamari Paste Yesham Bhattanam Vyokyamu. He is guaranteeing whatever you have got, he will preserve. And whatever we don't have, he will give. So who can give more guarantee? You want to tell something about today, Vijay Ekadashi? You want to tell us why it's called Vijay Ekadashi? Any particular reason?
Vijay Ekadashi.
You can take some water here.
If somebody knows, they can tell about it. Somebody knows? I can tell about it. Generally, Ekadashi, why we perform, it's like a mother of devotion. Because Ekadasi means like, of course, we have to refrain from eating grains and beans on this day. And also, every day we eat food. And today, we have to reduce the demands of the body and increase the spiritual activities. Shravanam Kirtanam, especially Prahlad Maharaj very nicely said in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Hiranyakashipu made him sit on his lap and said that, please dear son, tell me what you learned from Santa and Amarka in your school. Please tell what you learned. Then he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. So he said that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, especially on the Ekadasi day, reducing the demands of the body, one has to increase our time, maybe chant more number of rounds, maybe 25 rounds like that. Or if you have more time, you can even chant maybe 64 rounds also. And also, hear and chant. The entire day should be used as Shravanam Kirtanam. Doing more hearing chanting can be here from lectures and all. So, these are the activities you should be doing, more devotional activities which can also, like, actually, like we were discussing about the steadying the mind, right? And also, worshipping the deities is a very good way of steadying the unsteady mind. Deity worship, because, you know, and also it is very, deity worship is very good in the sense that in the conditional life, we are in the bodily concept of life. So when we do the deity worship, when we begin to do the deity worship, we say that Naam Vipro Nacha Narapati, Napi Vaishyo Nashudro, Naam Varne Nacha Grahapati. Then we identify ourselves that we are Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Nudasa. I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Naramaya, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. I am only your eternal, my constitutional position is to be your eternal Dasa, Dasa, Nudasa. So like that, you know, we understand our constitutional position, and also it frees us from the bodily concept of life, and also deity worship steadies the unsteady mind. That is why in Grihastha life, it is very much recommended to worship the deities. And also in the Grihastha life, there is a very much selfish mentality is there. Like, you know, everything is for me. I am the enjoyer. Everything that I am earning is for me. Like for my... So that selfish thing is there. But when we worship the deities, then, you know, we become... We understand who is the actually the maintainer. Like, who is actually the proprietor, and we are the only caretakers like that, no? So that thing also will come. So deity worship is also very, very powerful. That is why in the Panchanga Bhakti, Rupa Goswami has explained 64 rakas of Bhakti in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He said that Panchanga Bhakti are very, very sreshta, very important. What are those five angas of Bhakti? First is Sadhu Sangha, then Nama Sankirtana, then Bhagavad Sravana, then Srimurtira Shraddhaya Sevana, and then the last one is living in the holy places. And living in the holy places, no? Like that. Srimurtira Shraddhaya Sevana, Mathuravas. These five are very, very important. Even though all the 64 items have been condensed and said that these five are the most important. Panchanga Bhakti are very, very important to practice. Even if you cannot practice all the five, when practicing one of them, so sometimes you may not be able to recite in the holy place, but this temple is an embassy of the supreme abode of the Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. This is also like an embassy. Like when we go to Canberra, like, you know, if in Canberra, all the embassies are there. If you want to go to India in Australia, then you have to go to Indian embassy. There we see all the Indian flag and all that. You feel that you are in India there. Similarly, in India, if you go to Delhi, Australian High Commission, there the atmosphere is the Australian flag is there and all that. Like you feel that. So these temples are like embassies of the spiritual world, like Goloka. Here the same atmosphere of Mathuravas is there. Living in the temple is not different from living in the holy place. Only the change in consciousness should be there. This is also Vrindavan Dham actually. But the consciousness we should have. Because the Lord is there, wherever the Lord is there, that is a holy place. So this Panchanga Bhakti is practicing is also very, very important. Like Prahalad Maharaj very nicely gave this 5-9 course of devotional service, which is, and Ambarish Maharaj, Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravinda, Yor Vachamshi Vaikuntha Gunan Varnane, Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Adisha Chakarachita
Sat Katodai.
So how the Ambarish Maharaj, he practiced for all the 9 months of devotional service. There is an example. Who is example for Shravana?
Parikshit Maharaj.
Parikshit Maharaj. Because he heard Bhagavatam 7 days, 7 nights, even without sleeping, eating, and not even drinking actually. And Shravanam example, who is Kirtanam example? Sukadeva Goswami. And Vishnu Smaranam example?
Prahalad
Maharaj. Then Padasevanam?
Lakshmi
Devi. Then Archanam?
Ritu
Maharaj. Vandanam?
Akrojiku.
Akrura. And Vandanam? Dasyam?
Hanuman.
Sakyam?
Arjun.
Atmanivedanam?
Bali
Maharaj. So all these, one person did. Who is that?
Ambarish
Maharaj. Followed all his 9 verses and then he became perfect. He is called Matpara devotee. In 2nd chapter, 61st verse, Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragna pratishtita. Ambarish Maharaj is known as Matpara devotee. He practiced all his 9 verses of devotional service with all the limbs of the body, and he is a perfect example. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.